And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And that was great. We had The Bottom Line with Mitchell Spean. We had two lovely ladies in studio. We should have had a studio audience live. That would have been good. But anyway, now is a great show, The Green Roundtable. Of course, we have Glenn Gormley in-house. Hey, Glenn.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I am good. And Frank Clementi?
Hi.
That's it?
Hi.
Oh,
don't hold back on us,
yeah,
Uncle
come
Frank.
On.
Come on now.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have Eric Koss in studio.
Giddy up, Frank.
Yeah, giddy up.
I think Eric is on his way. So, so Frank and Glenn, did you both have a great New Year's?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What did you guys do?
Shoveled snow.
No way. Oh, yeah. We talked, right, a couple days before New Year's, and you called me, right, on a Wednesday or Thursday, and it was like, I mean, you had to go to Strawberry, and there's no way you could have got in on Wednesday or Thursday, right?
I did get in on Friday.
Yeah.
Was stopped in Payson, and it was chains or four-wheel drive.
Oh, is that right?
And I took the infamous Infinite Green Scion all-wheel drive mobile all the way up the hill.
Oh, my
We made
gosh.
It.
That is that's scary. I have a friend in lives in Payson, and it was like huge. Huge snow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they closed the what's it called, the B-line?
Yeah, they closed the 87 for a while, and you would have to come back around through Globe up the 188 and get in that way. But it's great for the North Country. We need the moisture.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And Frank, how
about
your
Well, all that water will be used for irrigation and, you know, for our crops and all of that, so I think that's great.
And there's a bunch of snow fights, right?
Probably.
Yeah, somewhere deep in Payson. But it was, and Flagstaff really got hit, right?
The whole north part of the state.
Yeah. It even snowed out here. Did you know it snowed
yes,
a little
did.
Bit in
it
Phoenix?
It did, yes.
I was playing in the snow. I built a little 1/2 of 1 inch snowman.
Yes.
Because there wasn't a whole lot of snow. Yeah, Glenn's looking at me like, are you kidding me? Okay, I mean, I'm kidding you. But it did
so
snow.
So truly you're saying it was 1/4 inch tall?
Yeah.
1/2 of 1 inch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did say that, didn't I? Okay, so, Frank, as we're awaiting our guest. We do have a guest. Do you think
yes,
she got lost?
Yes, we certainly do. And she should be here any moment.
Oh, good. And in the meantime, let's talk about 2011 then. How does 2011 look for Glenn Gormley?
It's just great. I'm generally not speechless. But I will struggle for a few words. Just the excitement, the buzz that's in the air about those that are looking for better ways to improve their lives. You know, again, I always go back to, you know, one step at a time, a product at a time, just a simple change. And that's what we're seeing from within our organization, just a lot of activity with our customers looking for much better products to use.
Well, that's important, and so you anticipate a great 2011.
Absolutely. I mean, everything, all indicators point that direction. Just a lot of involvement, you know, from our customers, a considerable amount of awareness in developing changes, whether it be at a personal level or at a business level.
So what will it take, and Frankie can jump in on this too.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, so we still know Frank is here, and because you were talking about yesterday we were talking about New Year's resolutions and I really think the green industry or green technology is really very closely related to neurolinguistic programming about how to change your thought processes because Glenn and Frank, do you see that especially in the green movement where people need to understand things differently, a different way of being, different way of operating to really fully get involved in the green type of movement? Frank?
Absolutely. It requires a new form of thinking, changing of habits, and being able to accept new ideas in technology and to use technology in a better way. In other words, by better way, I mean that preserves our environment, enhances our lifestyle. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right, and also long-term thinking, I think, is very important too, and that's part of the green movement. And I think it's exciting for people in 2011 to really make changes, not to wait for changes in the economy, but make internal changes, different thought processes, very important, and different ways of being, because that's where change occurs. It's not from the outside in, it's from the inside out. And Glenn, doesn't that make sense to you?
Dave, I would concur.
Yes, I thought you would. That's my neurolinguistic programming background. But we are so excited to have the president of EcoEdge LLC, Deborah T. Johnson. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you this morning, or this afternoon, I guess?
Yeah, what is this? It is 7
well,
after 3.
Well, for you, it's a sunny disposition. That's what we like.
Yeah, that's right. And it's so nice of you to be in studio with us. This is the Green Roundtable. Now, do you know Glenn Gormley in this corner?
Nice to meet you, Glenn.
Nice to meet you.
Wow, and Frank Clementi. Oh, you guys
Hi,
know.
Frank. We spoke on the phone.
Yes,
that
we
is
did.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about you. It's quite impressive. I was looking at your website. You have a whole list of awards and accomplishments. What's some of your most tell us first about EcoEdge, and then tell us about what's your most favorite accomplishment thus far in your career. But what's EcoEdge?
Well, EcoEdge works with fleets and industrial operations to reduce costs and environmental impact. We mitigate the risk of adoption of innovative technologies for the customers that we work with, because we understand that there are a lot of green products proliferating on the market, and not every company has the time or the resources to sort through them. So we do that in a Consumer Reports underwriter laboratory style analysis.
Oh, that's sort of cool. So what are some of the products or services and or services that you provide?
Well, what we typically do is we go in as a value-added reseller and address the challenges of the particular company. So rather than coming in with a group of solutions, which we have featured solutions, which I'll go into in a moment, but rather than saying, oh, you need one of these, we go in and say, what do you want to accomplish? What are your goals? What are you trying to solve? And what are your biggest things that keep you awake at night? And once we figure that out, then what we try to do is match the right solution, because we can represent anything.
So I love that. It's really strategic in nature. You're really a consultant, it sounds like, understanding what their needs are, and some of them you'll be able to address, and some of them you probably understand and you probably delegate out if it's has to do with some other type of product or service. But it sounds strategic in nature. What you're doing is looking at the guts of business. How did you learn how to do that?
Hard knocks.
Really? Have you had a lot of experience in like consulting or total quality management, maybe Lean or Six Sigma, which are all processes?
Well, actually, my secret background is I'm a CPA, so I...
No way, I'm a CPA. Well, the real CPA,
oh, no,
please stand
now
up.
We got two CPAs.
Yeah, are you still active as a CPA?
I'm a recovering CPA.
Oh, there you go.
I keep my license, but...
I'm still addicted to being a CPA. So you're recovering. You still have your license?
I do.
Arizona?
Arizona.
Wow.
Since, I forget when, 1985, I think.
Really? That is so cool. Now, were you in your own practice?
I was in a couple. I started out with one of the, what was the Big Eight? Now it's the Final Four, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then with a local firm here. And then I've done some financial, CFO, controller, et cetera, positions over the years. But I've been doing green business for, 9 plus years, and before it was chic to be green.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Wonder you have all the strategic thinking, because you were probably a CPA that more of a business type CPA, really understanding. There's very few of those type of CPAs out there, actually. It's mainly accounting, tax, recording historical data versus looking forward. You're a forward thinker, I bet.
I definitely think outside the box. I was told many times, you don't seem like a CPA.
No, you don't.
I wonder what they look like.
I know. I was like, wow, do I have horns or something? Yeah. Green ones, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, there you are. You're a greenhorn.
Oh, gosh. This is getting bad.
Isn't that a college somewhere? No. Maybe not.
It's an eco college.
Oh, eco college. Yeah. That's what I thought. So tell us about also a little background on who most influenced you. being a great business
On who woman. Most influenced me? My father.
Ah. So tell us about that.
Well, my father had owned multiple businesses while I was growing up and was all about giving back to the community, making, you know, I remember him telling me, and I was so surprised, well, what was the one thing that you really thought was the most significant thing you did in all your years of business? And what he said was he put a whole lot of teenagers through college because they had summer jobs with him. And that was not what I would have expected, you know, from someone like that.
That's fabulous. When I was going to the College of Architecture, I was working in a pizza parlor. And my boss gave me a one-year scholarship because he says you did nice work. So it's, you know, cleaning all this stuff in the restaurant on the floors. And he says you're going to get a scholarship. So I know what that's like.
Well, he just gave them jobs. And mm-hmm. so they earned money to
job,
go to school.
Yeah, that's great.
That is awesome.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it was surprising. But he was a great role model, and he always led me to believe I could do anything, and that has served me well.
See, I think that's one of the most important things. Ever hear of neuro-linguistic programming? Tony Robbins.
Okay.
Yeah, that's also part of the show. I'm a master practitioner, and the mindset is everything. And what you just said really captured everything, is that he really gave the gift of having you believe that you can do anything. And as opposed to a lot of parents, sadly, saying to their kids, you can never do anything. And that's a very... That's like a sentence.
No, it's a gift. It's a gift.
Well, it's the gift of opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. Gift. It's a gift.
Yeah. So I think that's.
And she took it.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah, and that's other part
she
of it.
She ran with
it,
as
yeah.
they say.
Because you have to you either accept it or reject it. But I think if you're young enough and you hear it enough, you're going to grow up in a very healthy environment to believe that is possible. And I think that's so important. And that's the whole thing with parenting. So anyway, when we come back from our break, we'll continue with the Green Roundtable. Special in-studio guest, Deborah T. Johnson of Eco Edge LLC. And we'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911. The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Green Roundtable starring Frank Clementi and Glenn Gormley. Special in studio guests, we have Deborah T. Johnson, Eco Edge LLC. I love it when I say Deborah T. Johnson. Is that how you go? Is it usually by
the... Well, you know, I keep T, which is stands for Taylor, which was my maiden name. So.
Oh, there you go, which you know. Is nice. So anyway, off there here, we were talking, Glenn and Deborah, you were talking about the approach to client service. And let's go further into that, because it's not just showing up with a product. It's really showing up with some analytical skills. And who wants to comment on that? All right, Deborah.
Well, going back to our CPA days, the analytical skills are very, very important. You can come in and tell a customer to do something, but if it doesn't make economic sense for them, if it doesn't solve a challenge, it's not going to be relevant. If it is too high a risk for their risk profile, it's not going to be accepted. So you have to address both of those issues, and you have to analyze, because they don't often know what their challenges are or what the problems are. They just have this feeling, or they want to do something green.
You know what I like about this is you're not coming in for your needs, but their needs. So many people today, you know, whether it's a product or service, their first thought is coming in and how they can get either a fee or commission or whatever. But it sounds like you come in and what's your needs? And if it doesn't fit, you probably say, well, it's not a fit. So it's not about you, it's about them.
We want a long-term relationship with them, and we definitely do not want to put them with something that doesn't fit. You know, if I had a customer a number of years ago that said, you know, gee, if you could just teach my drivers how to drive, I wouldn't need to have your fuel savings technology. So what did I do? I spent years keeping my eyes peeled, and I finally found an onboard real-time driver training technology that can teach their drivers how to drive, and on a real-time basis. I have it on my teenage son's car.
Oh, that is really cool.
That tells a lot about a teenage.
Keep honest kids honest, you know. The CPA keeps honest, yeah. Honest employees honest.
So what's a typical client profile for you? How would you describe that?
Our typical client profile is a customer that has a fleet, whether that's on-road vehicles or off-road heavy equipment, et cetera, of probably upwards of 20 vehicles, but could have as many as 5,000+ vehicles. You know, the technologies that we work with and the solutions that we have are not exclusive to that, any particular size.
Wow, that's so quite a range. Go ahead, Frank.
What is your reach? I mean, in other words, how far do you work with people throughout the United States? Is there an international aspect to what you do?
We have done international work, but what we have learned over the years is that when you're dealing with innovative technologies, until they're really accepted here, it's very, very difficult and expensive to get them adopted in other countries. So we have really, in recent years, focused domestically. Most of our customers are in Arizona, but we have them all over the country.
You know, I was reading up on some of on your website and some articles written about you. I like a couple of these things that are really awesome. Like, when you get stuck, what do you do?
You're thinking for alternatives.
Yeah, okay, one thing. Okay, it's like fake it till you make it philosophy. She didn't think I researched that. You see,
that's me.
Really, but that's good, because in NLP it's really called the as if frame. Meaning, what? As if you already knew how to do this, and that's the same concept. Fake it till you make it. A lot of people get
stuck. I think
I was
giving advice to somebody, I hope.
I think that's pretty good.
Also, that's good advice.
It is. And Stephen Covey, sharpening the axe, too.
Those are good. Yeah, the six hours versus 8 hours.
These are direct quotes you.
Wow, I have to look back at my website.
Yeah, this is good. But no, it makes sense, because that's a valuable tool, you know, that type of thing. Because a lot of people get sort of paralyzed with fear or distraction, and But when you say fake it till you make it, that means at least pretend that you know what you're, you know, I don't mean technically know what you're doing, but pretend that things are okay, pretend things that will be okay, and it'll pull your mindset into a different direction versus spiral down. And that's what that means.
Well, and to clarify for your listeners, when I do say fake it till you make it, I mean more attitudinally
than technically,
because if you don't go in with confidence, I tell my daughter this all the time. I mean, you've got to believe what it is you're doing, and if you don't believe it, well, then fake it.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Till you believe it.
Till you make it.
Yeah, and it's a great point. I mean, I used to point out to my drivers that our customers would ask us to do, you know, a variety of things that may not be in the scope of services that we provide, but to let our customers know that we would give it a try.
Yeah.
It's not something that we did all the time, but, you know, just let them know that we were on board and we were moving in that direction with the customer.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, no, we don't do that.
Yeah. And that... And mindset is everything, don't you agree, Deborah?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Deborah, I noticed that you have Invest Southwest. Were you connected to a group that does Invest Southwest? It was comment about your association with a group.
Oh, that's where I met Joan Kerber Walker, was at Invest Southwest.
Uh-huh.
And I've attended most of their events, and I think I spoke. I spoke at the most recent conference. That's right.
Yeah.
And sorry, I was.
That's okay. We switched from one.
Changing gears here. Yes. My brain is working on overdrive at
the
moment.
I'm sorry.
No problem. No, I did speak this last time on entrepreneurs and helping other entrepreneurs. That's where you get the fake it till you make it quote. Okay, now it's all coming back to me.
Okay. So you help people then through some form of inspiration and what you've been able to do so that, and then these investors, they help people who are looking to do something and help the community or start a business. Is that what this is?
Well, Invest Southwest is it's a great forum for entrepreneurs to learn about what they need to do and how to succeed. And, you know, my role there, I felt, was giving back to the community, because there have been so many people that have helped us over our 9 years in business.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what have you seen in the last 9 years? I suspect that when you started 9 years ago, it's a lot different than what it is right now. And, of course, we just went through a decline in real estate construction industry. How did that affect your business?
Well, it affected us pretty dramatically. We had a record year in 2008. We were very excited. And unfortunately, almost 70% of it was construction and construction-related fleets. So you can imagine where we went from there. But the good news is that which doesn't kill you makes you strong, and caused us to diversify, caused us to strengthen our business model. And consequently, you know, one of the things you asked me what I was proud of, I'm proud that 9 years later we're still here, and at the end of this economic recession, we're still here and we've made it through.
Are you actually expanding during this time frame or just holding your own?
Well, I mean, we took a pretty hard hit because when fleets aren't running, they're not buying products. And so construction fleets have been pretty much 50% parked, 50% running on the remainder. So we took a hit, but we grew this last year from 2010 over 2009, and 2011 is looking very strong.
So that's awesome. And we started the program, right, Glenn, by saying, hey, how does 2011 look for you?
Oh,
and you're really excited also.
Oh, the writing's on the wall. It's there. There's changes is upon us, and I think that's a great place to be.
So what do you tell people who have that gloom and doom attitude where they're tying into the outside external events of you know, news media saying, hey, you know, we're 4 years away from recovering? What do you tell people, or how do you tell people that way. The doom and gloom is in your head. It's not outside.
Economic Darwinism.
Yeah. You just tell them to quit reading the paper and watching the news. That's the first thing you can do. That's what I did.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, because if you tap into all the negativity, it can really wear on people if people believe that their future is tied into outside events.
Well, you know, as we talked about before, a lot of it is attitude. You make your own luck.
Yeah.
You make your own success. And there are companies that are thriving in this environment. And if you happen to be in one of those that is not thriving, well, you know, figure out how to be the best you can be and make lemonade, I guess.
Or remove yourself from that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, change it.
Or upgrade your skills. Do something. And it's funny you said luck. The definition I've heard often and time and again is where preparation meets opportunity is a definition of luck. And if you think about that, are you prepared? And not just or, but are you prepared as well as you have the focus and the awareness to see opportunities? Because guess what? They're all around every second. It's those who can spot them that will do very well.
And who are prepared.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's absolutely both. And when we come back from our break, we will continue our discussion with the Green Roundtable and special in-studio guest, Deborah T. Johnson of EcoEdge LLC. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Bob Lee with Saving Society. What if there's a way you could join our club and save up to 50% off and sometimes 60% off your prescription medicines, your airline tickets, your food bill, even your gasoline bill? Give us a call here at Saving Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151. We're making people wealthy. Thank you.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable starring Frank Clementi and Glenn Gormley, our friend Eric Koss. What do you got there? He looks like a pair of sunglasses there. Hopefully Eric, we still may see him, right? He's on his way, I hope. And special in-studio guest Deborah T. Johnson, EcoEdge LLC. Now, again, on the break, we were asking, Glenn, you were asking some great questions. Why don't you start off, especially the one, what do you, Where do you start by cutting costs? I mean, that's on a fleet situation.
You know, yeah, you're a transportation company, and you know, you've got 100 trucks, and where do you start? What do we do? What do we do for savings?
Well, my recommendation is, again, first question is, what's keeping you awake at night?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I have found is that I can save a company, you know, let's pick a relevant number for a fleet, $500,000, you know, relative to, and let's say that's relevant to this particular size fleet. The problem is if I'm not solving what's keeping them awake at night, that's not a relevant $500,000. So you start what's keeping you awake at night. The next thing you look at is, what are your biggest expenses? Is it fuel? Is it tires? Is it engine repair? Is it labor? Where are your biggest expenses? In a fleet, I would say most often it's going to be fuel, and with fuel up 20% over a year ago, that's going to be significant, and it's going to have a significant impact on their bottom line. The problem has been that most fleets have assumed that fuel is an uncontrollable cost, and it's not. So that is a good place to start challenging assumptions and paradigms.
You know, that's important. And Glenn, you mentioned a concept too, spend money to save money.
Absolutely.
Why don't we go over that? What does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, you've got to load it up on the front side. Immediately, you want to see savings, but you've got to have a plan to save. And generally, to put a plan in action, you've got to have some capital, or you've got to have some monies invested in order to roll out a new program. Then the other thing you've got to address is the push that you're going to get from those that are within the organization, because they just don't want to deal with this. And I find it all the time. So again, how much monies have you allocated, you know, for this change? Because if you don't have monies set aside, you know, to create this change, it's just going to be that much more of a battle. You're just going to be pushing it uphill.
And also, you really have to know, Deborah, I would suspect, what really is possible. You probably go into certain potential clients, and they have no clue that this is even realistic. It's not even in their awareness that there could be some cost-saving mechanisms and products and services that are even possible. They don't have a clue what's out there.
Well, and you can't manage what you don't measure.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we've found. We go in, and they say, oh, we want to save fuel, but the problem is, you know, I can save them fuel, but if they don't know where they're starting from, they're not going to be happy when they get done. So you need to know, you know, I agree with you, Glenn, that, you know, you have to be prepared to spend a little money to make money. But there are a lot of technologies, a lot of solutions out there that have a very, very strong ROI. So know what your goals are, know what you want to accomplish, and know how you're going to know that you accomplished it.
Now, do you also help clients set goals? Is that part of the program?
Sure.
So you do that too. You're like really full service. You're not just product oriented. So it's really like an advisory service too.
That's what I said. It's a value-added reseller, because ultimately we make our money by selling products, but we try to introduce a level of independence on their evaluation of whatever it is we're bringing to the table. But in terms of setting goals, I mean, they have a general idea of what they want to do, and we help them associate that with what's possible.
So that's important. Go ahead, Frank.
So it kind of relates to the Green Village that I'm working on, is where you're helping people become self-sufficient, or companies to become self-reliant, self-sufficient through your services and your thinking process, and you help them change their thinking processes as they go along. And then it's almost like a developmental situation. They develop and you develop with them, and you guide them. So you're a coach, consultant, and steer person.
Yeah, you could put it that way.
Okay.
They're trying to evolve. And
yeah, there's an evolution, and you're helping them in their evolution.
Well, I think we have to hold hands for a little while. I mean, that's what I look at with my customers. I have to reach out, and I've got to kind of guide them along. But
right.
You know, we were talking about fuel savings, and again, we're watching fuel prices rise, and you can control those fuel costs, especially if you take a look at if you run off-road equipment. There's something called red fuel. Red fuel does not carry the tax that we would have for the regular fuels that we would have for our trucks that are running on the highways. There's other ways that companies can look at saving fuel, and we experience this in the waste industry. We spent a considerable amount of time off-road, and we took the time to calculate when that truck was off-road and how much fuel it was consuming driving the accessories, the PTOs and the hydraulics of the truck, calculated that into fuel burned off of the highway. That calculated to a gigantic number at the end of the year.
There are a lot of things like that.
But if you don't bring it up, if you don't reach out and say, hey, by the way, you know, we're struggling as a company. What can you help us with? There's one area right there, because most of it, we didn't know that.
But that's why I'm here today. Reduce your carbon footprint. I mean, that's a good cost savings way. But to actually reduce the usage of your fuel and reduce your carbon footprint is something that's very real today.
You know, that's a really good point. What we're all saying is really is look beyond what's visible. You know, what's really. I would say that, you know, businesses are only as good as their level of awareness and also the level of awareness of their professionals, you know, whether it's attorney, CPA, other consultants. And I think people should start evaluating, businesses should evaluate their professionals that they hire, because if the theory holds out, and I really believe it's true, that you're only as good as the awareness and the mindset and the belief systems and the confidence and capability of your professionals, guess what? If things aren't going right, maybe you need to rethink who is on your team. And there's a little restructuring too.
And I also think that you need to share this information with the team.
Yeah.
I mean, so often the gentleman that's driving the truck really has, no one's taken the time to explain why 55 versus 65 versus 75 means so much at the end of the day. Now, I can tell you I have an F-350 Ford that gets X amount of mileage at 55 miles an hour towing. But for every 10 miles an hour, I lose a full mile per gallon.
Wow.
So yeah, the difference between gaining or achieving 9 miles to the gallon versus 11 is a difference of 20 miles an hour. But my mind works, I want to get there quicker.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting there quicker.
Your employees do too. And that's where, you know, we were talking about the driver feedback thing. Giving them goals and empowering employees to meet your goals, giving them the right tools will accomplish them. I mean, you give them a reason and they will do it. You know, gee, we want you to drive green. Here is the definition of green. Here's how you do it. And therefore, this is what we expect. And, you know, we'll measure it and you can monitor yourself. So those kinds of things are absolutely critical, no matter what goal it is, whether it's driving green or reducing fuel consumption or reducing waste or recycling more, et cetera.
And as part of your program, then, do you also suggest incentive plans for employees that will comply? Or is that not part of it?
Yeah, it depends on what you're trying to do and what, you know, you're accomplishing. I mean, some technologies are just a matter of incorporating them into your preventive maintenance schedule. Other ones require employee participation, and then you can make teams and you can make challenges and give rewards and evaluate behavior based on what they're doing.
So a lot of people would say, wow, this is, you know, a lot of owners right now would probably say this is just a lot to do in terms of, you know, employee motivation and tracking the things, Glenn, you were talking about. What would you tell them? I mean, people just get stuck in their own mind and they don't see the benefits or they wait so long that the pain sneaks up on them. And that's when they get motivated, but often that's too late. They've already lost all this cash and all this potential profit. What would you tell people?
It's easier than you think.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's just clearing your head a little bit.
Well, it is, and talk to the right people. Find out where you can get good information that you can trust. Call us. There are others out there that can guide you through this. There are too many products on the market for you to expect yourself as a business owner to be able to evaluate what is or isn't the right fit for you. Get some help. I mean, there are those of us who have been doing this for many years And we can help sort through all that.
So what type of industries do you work with? Is it just
we work with construction, mining, concrete, aggregate. We work with school districts. We've got some municipalities we're working with, trucking, transportation fleets, you know, anything that uses fuel or has mechanical type equipment for the most part.
Wow. So that's
so this would include farm equipment.
Absolutely. That's especially an industry farming. We would really like to help. It's one that I've not pursued as much.
Maybe we can open some doors.
Awesome. That would be great, because I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us to save the agriculture industry a lot of money and reduce their footprint.
And that would reduce hopefully the cost of food.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate. You know, you asked earlier offline about what impact is what we do have on the consumer. Mm-hmm. And we don't really directly work with an individual, say, with an automobile. But a consumer that frequents a business or buys a particular product can stress that, hey, we'd like you to be greener. And drive that momentum
back into that.
Because it's cost savings. Green is no longer the pariah that it was when I first started. I had people who didn't want to even admit that they were doing something green.
That's right.
They thought they were going to be perceived as more expensive. And, you know, we are very, very careful that everything we do not only reduces your environmental footprint, but it saves money so that we're not perceived as organic fruit.
That's interesting. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the Green Roundtable special in-studio guest, Deborah T. Johnson of Eco Edge LLC, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is their Green Roundtable starring Frank Clementi and Glenn Gormley. And our friend Eric Koss appears not to be in the studio today. But
he's with us.
He is with us in spirit. We'll probably see him next month. And special in-studio guest Deborah T. Johnson of Eagle Edge LLC. I have a question because, Deborah, you were talking about companies and really defining what green means to companies. A lot of people, I bet if we had, let's put it this way, 100 people in this room right now, it'd be pretty crowded, wouldn't it?
But, yes, it would.
And if we all ask them, what does green mean to them? I bet we get 101 different answers. Glenn Gormley, what does green mean to you?
Well, green means to me making a change and making a difference. And again, with my background being in the waste industry for 30 years, you know, I definitely want to reduce. I want to reuse, and then I want to recycle. And I'm challenging myself to take a hard look at just simple things in my business, in my life, in, you know, can I reuse this? Can I make something out of this piece of wood that I was going to toss in the trash can? I mean, I'll save it. Just little things like that. That's more green for me. Again, I always like to be a guy, again, out of the box. I don't want to come across as being, again, a freak. You know, it's like an all or nothing. Well, you know, you used to be this, Glenn, and now you're this. No. I'm making changes just a little bit at a time, and that's part of my green lifestyle.
See, I like that. Making a change, making a difference, that's real important. Let's go to Frank Clementi, and then we'll get to Deborah. What does green mean to you?
Well, green means to me is I want to help improve people's lifestyle and living. And I do this through designing communities, green communities, where people have an opportunity to, the investors have the opportunity to create environments that are energy efficient, great places to live. And then the people themselves have the opportunity to practice green ideas. So you have both, the people who own the properties and the people who live in them.
I like it. And Deborah, what does green mean to you?
Well, in that I work in traditionally dirty industries, diesel fleets and so forth, we understand which green is most important to our customers. It's the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But everything we do is better for the environment. So to me, what it means is changing, like you said, Glenn, a little bit at a time. I'm not going to, you know, stop. Like one member said, well, gee, do I have to drop my membership to the Pave the Planet Club? No, you just have to pave it a little cleaner. So, you know, it's doing everything to the best of your ability to protect the environment in which we're operating.
See, that's great. You're all in different industries, but you all have a general theme, making a difference and a little bit of at a time and making something a better place than we're That you've been here, actually.
Making a change, like he was saying, making a change and an impact.
Which is really powerful. I mean, if you think about it, going in from that attitude versus typically what, unfortunately, a lot of corporations do, it's all about the dollar. It's sort of on a greedy, short-term thinking. I think green thinking, to me, is more long-term thinking, more about doing something for others than for yourself.
I would agree, and I look at the situation that's created every day with my company or for my company, and I look at them as all opportunities. One of the biggest things that we stress is product consolidation. The second thing that we take a look at is if we're looking at a single product, maybe it's a chemically driven degreaser. Now, we know where it starts. I mean, it's a petroleum-based product. So if I can show you a natural degreaser that outperforms the chemical degreaser, and then I can show you how to take three or four products and consolidate them with a single product, what does that do for your bottom line? But you're not looking at it that way because it just hasn't been on your radar screen. So that's my job, is again to be out of the box and to challenge you to look at this thing a different way. So and we're finding great success with it.
And, you know, and what you're really saying, Glenn, is that it's an education process, and
it's all education.
Yeah,
it's all learning.
If they're not aware of it, they may never know unless you tell them.
That's why when we get inside an organization, I always like to get to somebody that is performing the work, because I can make a difference. And I ask that person, "Do you know why I'm here today?" "No, I'm here to make your job easier and to make sure that we're putting products in your hands that are safer and so that you understand why you're using them a certain way. I'm all about that. Now, this is what they heard, making my job easier. Okay? Now, they come back to the manager and they sell the fact that this stuff really works. Game on.
That makes it easy for you, too.
Yeah, it's great.
And Deborah, the same thing with you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I can't make my customer's job easier, then they don't want to do this. They don't want to do anything that's going to challenge their operations. The larger the fleet, the more disruptive technologies can be. And so you have to integrate them into the processes that are already there and make life easier.
So I'm curious, with all three of you, when you deal with people, is the motivating factor still overwhelmingly saving money, or is it really thinking beyond themselves, saving the planet type of thing, where it's just going to be much much better for a generation?
That's a real easy one. It's always going to be about the money.
Easy
it's
question.
The money. They may tell you something else, but somebody sitting at the top is telling you it's about the money.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever, in all your travels,
I know where you're
met anyone where it wasn't? Just one example.
Yes, account. I have.
Okay. So, Frank, tell us about that.
Especially in growing gardens, I've had my chiropractor, as a matter of fact.
Really? He's on line one.
Yes, but what happened is that he was the idea of having his garden was very, very important for him, his wife, and it was more important than the money side.
So there was one example, Deborah. One example.
I have customers who were willing to take economic neutral. That the green impact was enough that they didn't have to have a lot of savings. They just had to have enough savings to pay for itself. APS is a good example of leadership in that area. They're willing to do things that they have a good ROI, they pay for themselves, but ultimately they're reducing the environmental impact of their fleet.
So that's good to hear, Glenn.
And I've had my share of customers that will step up to the plate, and they'll spend a little bit more money. But actually, they're not spending any more money, but they think they are, and it makes them feel like they are doing the right thing. They're willing to step forward.
You're right, Glenn, because I was convinced one of my clients to do rainwater harvesting. He says, "I don't need that. It doesn't rain in Arizona."
Oh.
But after a while, he says, "You know, I'm now convinced, because the water was going very nicely through each plant, and he accepted the idea, and it did cost him more."
And I hope you got him a rain gauge for his birthday.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
He was the rain gauge.
Yeah, it's interesting that what we really are talking about is a prioritization of values. And the ones that you've had a counter example of, where they place value beyond themselves, perhaps their kids, the next generation, as higher than money. And I think that's from a cultural aspect, and it's just ingrained in us. And I think maybe, hopefully soon, there'll be a turning point where there's more of a balance. And I think that would serve everyone well. And we're out of time. Let's go. Glenn, give us your contact information real quick. We'll go around the circle.
Glenn Gormley, Infinite Green, glenn@cleangreenworld.com.
Excellent. Deborah T.
Deborah Johnson, EcoEdge, ecoedgeco.com, and it's djohnson@ecoedgeco.com.
Frank Clementi.
Clementi Design at gardenistawordpress.com.
Wow, how do you spell that? That'll be a good gardenista. I love that. Anyway, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a real honor and a pleasure, because you are a strategic thinker and you have the heart and soul of someone that really wants to make a difference. That is what is very important.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this. This has been fun.
Well, great. And Glenn Gormley, always a pleasure seeing you.
Right back at you.
Have fun at the hockey game.
We'll be doing that tonight.
Oh, good hockey action tonight. Frank Clementi, always nice seeing you.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And we'll have another episode of the Green Roundtable next month, the first Tuesday from 3 to 4. We hope Eric is fine and okay, and we'll look forward to seeing him next month. And Wow, it's been cold out.
Oh, it has.
Very cold. How was that? I can't
freezing.
Believe we talked about that. I built a little snow man a quarter inch high. Anyway, everyone have a great night. We'll see everyone Friday for the sports show, Breakthrough Sports from 2 to 4. Have a special guest. We have the Coyotes Roundtable, actually. We're big hockey fans, as Glenn Gormley knows. Coyotes Roundtable and the national director for Examiner.com in sports will be on the show. Everyone have a great night.